Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and this is In the Weeds, and that means I'm tolerating Walter Sullivan to my right.
You're always tolerating me. It's all about the weeds.
Hey, Walter, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Jeffrey. I'm not as high as I usually am.
Really?
I'm never high, but
you're not even
high on life.
You're not even over 5 feet tall. How could you be high?
Well, that's what's nice about our next guest. We're about the same height.
Well, our next guest is Jimmy Young, host Pro Cannabis Media. Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Good, thank you. And you're also friends with my buddy Mark Z, who's part of this show.
Yeah, is he an invisible partner? Because I never see him.
No, I sort of use him like Barney Fife. He sort of comes up beside me. I put my arm around him. No, you know,
Mark and I go back almost 50 years. We went to Camp Caribou together back in the early 70s.
And he hanged out at three and a half?
He was 10.
Cabin?
The 3 and a half is where we all went to the bathroom with Walter. You like that story, don't you? Yikes.
You went to the bathroom with Mark?
We all went. It was a group thing. Don't you remember camp?
I never went to the bathroom as a group thing. I never did. I always did it by myself.
Good for you. So, and are you still doing that, Jeff, by yourself?
If I can go to the bathroom, it's an accomplishment. Believe me, it's a good thing.
Boy, this show is just going down.
And I just arrived.
It's always an accomplishment.
This is why we have Jimmy on.
Yikes.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
What's Pro Cannabis Media?
We are a website that produces original content that is pro-cannabis, and we distribute it through media.
Wow.
We also have some great marketing partners, founding partners like MJ Headline News, The Weed Tube, Leafly, Weed Maps, and let's see, I'm missing some, Sensi Magazine.
Right.
And we link to each other, we share content, and we talk about it.
And how did you get into this, and what was the inspiration behind it?
I'm glad you really did your homework on me, Jeff. You have no idea who I am or what my background is, am I right?
I'm supposed to ask you these questions for those who don't know you.
And there are people out there listening to this show that don't know me. I already know. Zwetschgenbaum knows me. Is anybody else more important than Walter and Mark Zwetschgenbaum?
Everybody.
Jeffrey Davis.
Everybody.
Okay. So 40-year media.
If you're starting with Walter, it's all uphill after that.
I've been in media for 40 years in New England. I started as a sports producer at Channel 4 in Boston at age 20 in 1977 with Jimmy Myers, Len Berman, and Gail Granick.
Right.
I then parlayed that into a radio show on WLYN, AM and FM, and then moved on to the CBS affiliate in Portland, Maine as a weekend sports anchor and sports reporter. I was there for 11 years and then did the first ever sports cast at New England Cable News in 1992, where I had my own talk show for 6 years. I won an Emmy for a sports talk show for kids that I created in the 90s at NECN, went over to the sales side for a number of years, and then started my first business, Young Broadcasters of America, in 2008, and held that, kept that going for about 5 years.
I'm sorry I asked, but I'm not.
That's 30 seconds. Actually, like that's about as short a story as I can give.
That's not based on
40 years.
Jimmy, we ask that of every guest
through
their background.
Fair enough.
It's a standardized question.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, okay.
I usually, as a host, do my homework so I know who the person is that I'm talking to.
Who says I don't do my homework?
Fair enough.
Just because I ask.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, if I knew everything and I didn't want to share it, I wouldn't turn the mics on.
Fair enough.
You know that.
I guess so, yeah.
But Jimmy, why'd you pick cannabis?
That's a great question, Jeff.
Oh, this one you like.
This one I like.
One for two.
No, I'll be perfect.
Shut up, Walter.
You know, I'm extremely honest, painfully honest a lot of times. Okay?
Really? We didn't think that was true.
I bet. I bet. And it has to do with my upbringing. I was extremely fortunate growing up in Newton, Massachusetts.
Did you get hit a lot?
In the head, yes.
Okay, see,
is that what you're saying? I dropped in my head when I was 6 years old. That tells you something right there.
I was put in a garbage can.
And you asked me about why I'm into cannabis.
Well, I was six, they put me in a garbage can and closed it.
Right, so I've had four, that happened to you. Did I do that? I had four major surgeries in the last 20 years. I was an athlete growing up. I played college soccer at Tufts University in the 70s. I've had horrific arthritis in my family for years, as you can see. I have gross fingers.
This is the Gronk story.
And Gronk actually is involved with a company that I'm going to be talking with, and already talked to Perry Antleman down in Jamaica a couple of weeks ago, as you mentioned, Gronk.
No, because
so you asked me about why I got into cannabis.
Because he got into CBD because he had pains, he says.
Horrible pain, absolutely. Right. And you know what? Everybody likes Gronk because he really He sacrificed his body for our entertainment for 10 years. Okay. And you know what kind of surgeries he's had and everything. And the beautiful thing about Gronk is, you know, he's totally straight. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He's high on life. That's true. Walter,
like me.
Like you.
Well, and he says it as if he thinks it, he says it. He doesn't really edit it out.
Right. Right. And by the way, I didn't even know what edit function was till about 20 years ago, let's just say. That being said, you asked me about cannabis. So to be honest, it's been part of my life for about 38 years. And I took 10 years off when my child was born from 1990 to 2000. And then it came back into my life because I always kind of used it medicinally after these surgeries, you know, and I didn't want to keep using Percocets. So I got a medical card when it first started, and, you know, I use it at night. I do not use it during the day. I am not a waker and baker. I'm someone who definitely uses it at night to help me to go to sleep. I also have a $16,000 hot tub in my backyard that I go in every morning because it helps me stretch.
I don't even want to visualize that one.
Mark's not in there with him.
No, he's
well,
not.
Well, he might be. We don't know.
No, no one's in there with me for the most part.
Well, you know, in terms of this show that you have, what makes you?
It's not just a show. I know. We have four. We have actually four shows that we now produce.
Where do you get your most satisfaction from all of this?
Learning something from everybody every time I talk to them. I meet people all the time now at various conferences, and it is a fascinating time to be part of a historical movement. That's what keeps me going every day. I was a history major at Tufts.
Have you thought about writing something?
A book
about this.
Yes, absolutely. Historical. Actually, we're in the last chapter of my book right now.
Really?
I've had an incredible life. I've had experiences that people die thinking that they'd never get a chance to be on the field at Fenway Park interviewing Hank Aaron during the 86
wow.
World Series, hanging out on a golf course with Ted Williams
wow.
and interviewing him one-on-one.
Wow.
I've had experiences in my life.
And now it's Walter Sullivan. How does your life crash so badly?
Actually, I enjoy hanging out with Walter.
It's actually and by a great time together.
And by the way, I also have learned quite a bit from Walter. So
you've been holding
will you tell
back?
My wife that please?
I'll be happy
Walter,
to.
Walter, you're holding back on me.
I am. Just,
and I'll be happy.
I got to bring him with me more when I'm talking with you, Jeffrey.
Right. He's
yeah,
got
I
a
know.
That, bar,
that's
I'm
definitely
you.
An abusive kind of relationship going
absolutely.
On. This is a love-hate
yes.
thing?
Yeah. No, there's no hate.
No, we love each other.
There's no
okay,
respect, but there's no
okay,
hate.
Okay, fair enough. Love
just
it, I get it. I get it. Love
just,
and no respect.
He's just trying to teach me how to be a better business person. And he gets frustrated on my approaches.
Well, that's my biggest issue as far as finishing the chapter of the book, because I do want to build a media company and then sell it in 5 years to a major media company when this substance goes federally legal. That's my exit strategy. I'm definitely in the process of talking to business consultants and to potential investors. And we are getting a national reputation. In fact, you could even make a case we're getting an international reputation because you know what one of the greatest thrills of my life? I talk about Ted Williams and all this and hanging out with various celebrities, what have you. I interviewed a Rastafarian about 3 weeks ago down in Jamaica. And you asked me about why you went to cannabis. And I asked that guy, I asked First Man, that was his name, First Man, about his role with the plant. And these people, this is their, they believe so much in the power of this plant. And now science is finally discovering the hundreds of chemicals that are inside this plant that have so many different applications in our world, both medicinally and recreationally. I mean, let's face it, folks, a lot of people use weed to get high. Some people use it as a medicine to deal with their chronic pain or their seizures or whatever.
Sleeping, chilling out, pain.
Anxiety, pain.
Right.
The seizure things, the epilepsy thing alone to me is a fascinating thing. Even to the point where the hypocritical U.S. government has decided to give, you know, Epidiolex a shot and throw it out there and say, oh, no, but, you know, it's still a Schedule I drug because it has no medicinal value. Unless, of course, we, the government, are making money off it.
That's what... When we got rid of prohibition, it was about the taxation.
That's exactly
right. The same
right.
thing is going to come true with cannabis.
That's right. It, money drives the bus, doesn't it, Walter?
It very much so.
Law and money. Maybe
and
not in that order.
It's going to be legal
soon.
Everything's
about economics.
Well, no, it's all about the almighty dollar.
Right.
It really
right.
is. I mean,
yeah.
look what happened in sports. I use sports analogies
even when
all the
I read
time.
History books, you know, you start digging away it underneath the surface. There's some money motivation behind things.
Right. But think about what happened in China few weeks ago with the NBA and Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Houston Rockets, sending an innocent tweet supporting those Hong Kong protesters. Man, Did that blow up or what? And then LeBron piles on, being the absolute ultra idiot that he can be sometimes, because he doesn't realize how powerful he really could be if he wanted to be. But instead, he too is blinded by the buck.
Buck, yes.
Well, you don't fool around with the Chinese government.
Well, they certainly learned that lesson, didn't they? By the way, you're right. You don't fool around with the communist Chinese government.
They have hundreds of years of controlling what they want to control.
They certainly do. And now they bought half the United States, haven't they?
And they're on their way to a lot more.
Well, you got to invest your money in a place that's profitable.
And they have 100,000 computer science graduates for every one we have.
Correct. And by the way, never mind. I'm not going to say it. I am not going to make that comment. Let's just leave it at that.
Geez, I just wonder what it is. Walter, do you know what it is?
I would not guess. Jimmy surprises
are so many
me
stereotypes.
Everything he says.
There's so many stereotypes in the world, and some of them are true for a reason. Let's just leave it at that.
I'm not even going to touch that.
Wow.
You know? Look, I'm not going to say it. It just has something to do with driving an automobile. Let's just leave it at
that. Oh, that. Okay.
How's that? Is that fair enough? That's about as subtle as it gets, doesn't it?
You know, Jimmy, if, you know... Yeah, I know you thought this was a 30-minute show, but I'm sorry, it's not a 30-minute show. You know, I think everybody should be tuning into you and following you. So how would they do that?
ProCannabisMedia.com. We're on Instagram. We have a YouTube channel. We have Twitter. We have all of the social media things that are out there. But the best thing to do is really just to go to the website and subscribe to our content. Or go on to our YouTube channel and check out the interviews that we've done with some of the biggest names in the business, like Steve D'Angelo, the father of the cannabis industry from California. A guy named Bruce Linton, the ex-CEO of Canopy Growth. I think you guys know Canopy Growth. I hope you would. Who else have we had on? Oh, do you know Roger Berkowitz from Legal Seafoods, the CEO? I don't know if you saw their campaign, but they were one of the first non-cannabis advertisers to actually give respect to the emerging cannabis market by creating some very cute, clever commercials that air on a lot of the sporting events that I watch on a somewhat regular basis still, using the code word 420.
Not necessarily sure if that was about respect or about a good marketing gimmick. Roger's a very smart guy.
And what's the point?
I've always liked Roger's marketing strategies.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And he came on our show and discussed it and talked about it. And you know what? Guess what? He gets migraines. So what do you think he uses to help his migraines? CBD. He wouldn't go on the THC.
Not zebrafish, huh?
Not zebrafish, no. But, you know, they only get those once a year, isn't it? Isn't that what those fish are available once a year? Anyway, the campaign was very clever. What got me really upset is when Dan Adams ripped it that week during his column and said that, oh, that campaign says we should all get wasted on drugs. I am so fed up with him, and I'm not talking about Roger. I'm fed up with Dan, okay? I don't know who the hell he thinks he is now that he's a columnist in cannabis at the Boston Globe. Please. What they did, and by the way, because I'm friends with the Berkowitz family, okay, I took it personally. So I ripped them in my weekly news
video.
Roger
would not do anything disrespectful. That was done.
You know, of all my interactions, all my interactions with the Berkowitzes over the last 30 years, yeah. I've always left with a more positive feeling.
Oh, they're great people. Nice. Right. He's really nice. Yeah. And, you know.
I've never had a bad interaction.
It's all because it's the business that started in Cambridge.
In all different endeavors that I've interacted with Roger and even his father, I found them always class very
act.
Positive.
They're
always
nice people. They're mensches.
But in terms of someone having an opinion that's not informed, you know, Clarence Darrow, a famous attorney.
Yes. I know Clarence Darrow.
He was
a history major, remember?
But not everybody knows. He was at a party once, and the hostess said to him, after dinner, we're going to have parlor games, and we'd like to have some debates, and would you participate? And he looked at her, and he said, yes, sure, as long as I can be on the negative side of the debate. And she looked at him, and she said, well, I don't know why you would say that. You don't know what the debate is about. He goes, oh, that's really quite simple. You never have to be informed to argue against something.
That's right. You can be ignorant, uninformed,
no,
and uneducated.
No, it's not going to work. You have to be intelligent to argue for something. You have to get your facts in line.
Right.
It's easy to argue a negative.
Isn't that a great story?
Yeah. I think that's one of the reasons why sports radio gets such a bad knock because, you know.
They don't know what they're talking
about. What did Rick Pitino say? The negativity in this town sucks.
Well, they guessed everybody yesterday except Josh Gordon.
That's right.
Everybody but Josh Gordon.
I don't get
even
what
happened. The national guys.
I cannot figure out why they put him on IR. There's a story
there. He wasn't
moving. What's that?
He wasn't moving like he was last year.
Correct. I would say based
maybe
on performance.
Maybe he moved better when he was on
CBD. Right. No, that's what he probably needs is a little bit more THC and CBD. Because, you know, there is something called the entourage effect. Right, Walter?
Oh,
right.
My God. Going to be fun being with you this afternoon, Jimmy.
I'm psyched. No, I'm psyched.
I've rarely heard a Boston sports announcer get hockey right because none of them know anything about hockey.
Dale Arnold does. He grew up in Maine. He knows hockey. What do you mean, no? He's hung around hockey for his forever.
Jimmy, he's from Canada. He knows hockey.
Oh, I get it.
He hung up on me once about 10 years ago because I told him something that wasn't true.
Because you told him something that wasn't true.
It was the only time I ever called a call-in show. And I called in, and he was not correct. And he hung up on me.
And
he didn't hear it, I don't think.
Basically, you're sure he was incorrect?
I'll tell you offline. I know he was incorrect.
No, tell me now. Come on.
I'm not telling you now.
Oh.
He's a good sports reporter. He knows more about hockey than anybody else.
He's probably the most underrated and underappreciated sportscaster in the Boston market for the last 25, 30 years. Because he does all the skills well.
You can tell that he's a student.
Right.
That he studies.
Exactly.
He's a lifelong learner.
Correct. I've known him since 1981.
You can tell. But
we
you know,
now have radio sports but entrepreneurs.
You know, but he's
nothing
a homie.
Wrong with that. By
he's
the way,
he's a homie.
Why not? We all grew up in New England. I grew up in New England. I'm a homie. You could still be objective and be a homie.
You're from
guess
New-
what?
You're not
as
a homie.
As a talk show host, he doesn't.
You know,
he's not you know, supposed to
you
be
know
a
what
homie.
Sports? When I grew up, you know what sports you saw the most in Montreal?
Yes.
Boston sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not the Les Expo?
The Red Sox.
Not Les Expo?
Yeah, when they came, but there was the Red Sox.
Oh, yeah,
it was
the
Patriots.
And
before that, it was the Giants.
That's right, because it was the closest.
Why do you think
teams.
Jeffrey moved here?
You know, you think you're going to watch the CFL?
I like the
and
CFL.
And you got the Bruins and the Canadiens in Montreal. You got you didn't get the Leafs. So, you know.
Well, I know Montreal and Toronto don't get along, that's for sure.
Well,
one speaks
for good reason.
Quebecois, one's a Quebecois, and they speak French over there, and then in Toronto, it's organization.
You know, that's like making black-white jokes in America. I don't do those jokes.
I understand that. I don't blame you.
That's an ethnic slur as far as
because
I'm
of the geographics?
Look, I'm English from Quebec, and I wouldn't
I
make,
see what you're
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, you know, I did that when I was 10 years old.
Well, don't forget, I was in Maine for 11 years, so we had Louis.
You have as many French Canadians as Quebec.
Thank you very much. The Lewiston Auburn area and Biddeford Saco, too.
You mean Maine isn't part of Canada?
Maine is part of Massachusetts. In the beginning.
A lot of French Canadians are there now.
That's right.
You guys are morons. I feel like I'm on the Three Stooges. I've had it with Jimmy Young.
You know the Three Stooges?
And I've had it with you, Walter. But Walter, if someone's looking for you, how are they going to find you?
At waltersullivanlaw.com is my website, and wsullivan@waltersullivan.law is my email address.
And I'm sick of this, Mishigas, so I'm signing off. This is Radio Entrepreneurs.